going back to the earliest tribal instincts of humanity, our willingness to bond together has been based upon our shared ways of living and communicating. America was founded upon the idea of a melting pot, where different cultures have combined their strengths to create a unique, shared culture. However, present laws of the United States discourage immigrants from learning English. Linda Chavez, former director of the United States Commission on Civil Rights and the Center for Equal Opportunity, stated in 1996, "The public policy has been in place over the last 25 years. This has discouraged immigrants from learning English and has made it quite possible for immigrants to function in all aspects of their civic life in their original language. Despite what you may think, English is not the official language of the United States. The current system denies unity, efficiency, and opportunity in our country. For these three reasons, we affirm the following resolution. The United States should adopt English as its official language. The affirmative proposes to preserve and enhance the official status of English by adopting English as the official language of government. Exceptions will be made for the teaching of foreign languages, for actions necessary for public health, international relations, foreign trade, the protection of the rights of criminal defendants, and for the use of terms of art from languages other than English. Advantage one is unity. The United States is headed in the direction of a linguistic division. As Senator Hayakawa stated, for the first time in our history, our nation is faced with the possibility of the kind of linguistic division that has torn apart Canada in recent years, that has been a major feature of the unhappy history of Belgium, split into speakers of French and Flemish, that is at this very moment a bloody division between the Sinhalese and the Tamil populations of Sri Lanka. As it becomes more common to drive into a community speaking its own language, the United States is presented with the possibility of segregated communities. Language will become a wall that separates one neighborhood from another. Not only will isolated societies create divisions throughout the country, but it will also lead to political instability. Each community will be fighting for their own rights rather than working as one nation. English as the official language will preserve political stability and unity. Mauro Mojica, himself a Chilean immigrant, is the chairman of the board of the United States English. He states that from the mid-19th century until recently, a strong sense existed in the United States that non-English-speaking people should and would ultimately learn English. As a result, little official concern for or attention to the designation of an official language policy seems necessary. However, in the last quarter century, the notion of America as a melting pot has been challenged. A body of government policies and practices has evolved piecemeal, based on the goal of protecting ethnic and cultural diversity. With little attention paid to the question of what the optimal overall language policy the United States ought to be. The very implementation of these policies, which have been costly both financially and socially, has brought a growing perception in America of linguistic instability, compounded by the close-to-home Canadian example of bilingual conflict. We feel that promoting of a common language, the government will encourage unity, political stability, and government efficiency. The second advantage is efficiency. With 323 languages spoken and no national language, the United States faces burdens such as purchasing special equipment in order to facilitate these different languages in the voting process, and the cost of printing documents in all of these different languages. John Miller, Vice President of the Center for Equal Opportunity, states in October of 1996, to comply, New York City had to purchase new voting machinery because its old equipment did not have enough space for all the Chinese characters that the law said it must provide. Los Angeles County now offers ballots in Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Spanish, Tagalog, and Vietnamese. In these three elections between November 1993 and November 1994, the county spent more than $101.2 million print voting materials in these foreign tongues. I want to reemphasize that these $1.2 million were spent in only one county, that of Los Angeles. An important question that arises is where do we draw a line? other language minorities might ask for their rights to have ballots in their languages. English, as an official language, would not only spare the government of these burdens, but would do it in a relatively low cost. The third advantage is preservation of opportunity. It is imperative that the government send a message to newcomers that they must learn English to succeed in this country. The current display of irrationality, allowing immigrants to vote, file a tax return, get married, obtain a driver's license in many languages, reduces them to a life of low-skilled, low-paying jobs, never realizing the American dream of economic opportunity. As research proves, learning English is crucial to economic success. Representative Gooding of the U.S. Congress states, "Over and over, studies show that people who learn English earn more for their families, are better able to move about and interact in society, and can more easily build a bright future for themselves and their children." In 1994, the Texas Office of Immigration and Refugee Affairs published a study of the Southeast Asian refugees in Texas. The study showed that individuals proficient in English earned more than 20 times the annual income of those who did not speak English. Passing an official English law would only encourage people to reach for their higher goals.
So your plan is basically doing what and how you can help any people by passing your plan, exactly.
What our plan would do is by enforcing immigrants to learn the English language in order to vote, to get their driver's license, to marry. This would make sure and give them incentive to learn the English language.
Could you make the connection clear, like how getting a driver's license and passing the test and knowing the signs actually will so much improve their economic status?
Because most people want to be able to drive and they want to get married, what this will do is they'll learn the English language, and even though they may have a job now, if they want to promote into managerial positions where they have to be able to communicate with other people throughout the country, it may be easier if they speak English. And as the Texas University study showed, people who spoke English earned 20 times more than people who did not.
In one of your advantages, you're comparing the United States with Canada and Belgium.
Yes.
So how are you aware that minority population in Canada and Belgium are much larger than minorities in the U.S. and they don't represent as much as portion of the population in the U.S.?
There are differences between the countries, but the main issue is that there are still 323 different languages being spoken in the United States, and it's these languages differences that are going to create the divisions.
In one of your evidence, you say in Los Angeles County, you'll have a save $1.2 million for not introducing multilingual ballots. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
How many multilingual counties are there in the United States?
I'm not positive how many exactly. I can give you the numbers, but I can assure you that there are other counties. Wherever there is a large diversity of minorities, there will be present these, such as probably around New York City, Chicago, Baltimore. You will find around these large cities that you will definitely have lots of multilingual ballots.
So you basically will help only people in big cities, and only in multilingual counties people will benefit from this.
People will benefit everywhere from this. They may not save as much money if they haven't been printing as many multilingual ballots, but most communities you will find in very many areas throughout the country are printing some multilingual ballots.
So basically, you're going to using Los Angeles County as an example, which is most diverse county in the U.S., and as example for whole U.S.
It's an example, but we still have to recognize that $1.2 million for Los Angeles will be saved no matter what.
Thank you.
English has not been the official language in the United States for years,
And there is no reason for us to pass the affirmative case now, but there are many reasons not to. In 1999, in the United States, the idea of a melting pot is not what we're striving for. We're striving to learn more about different cultures and recognize the differences that exist between all of us. What we're trying to do is make a mosaic which recognizes each one of us for the individuals that we are, with the beautiful different languages that we speak. We do not want to force all American citizens to be exactly the same. Most people in America do speak English. According to the minority report of the United States Congress Rules Committee, as a practical matter, the American people recognize English as the primary and common language of the United States. According to the 1990 census, 97% of the people in the United States speak English at least well. And according to the General Accounting Office, more than 99.9% of all federal documents and publications published during the 1995 period were in English. On the advantage, too, that the affirmative presented, I would like to say that the representatives will find ways to allow people to vote by providing them with ballots in different languages through some or other type of law if the affirmative bans the use of other languages. My second argument is that the use of English will only alienate those who might not speak English as well as those who were born in the United States. This would decrease the voter turnout because the people would feel that their issues would not be addressed. According to Ramiro Barcelo, a representative in the United States Congress, passage of H.R. 123 would decrease administrative efficiency and exclude Americans who are not fully proficient in English from education, employment, voting, and equal participation in our society. In these fiscally difficult times, government efficiency and economy would be better promoted by allowing government agencies to continue their limited use of other languages to execute their duties effectively. This lowering of participation in voting would undermine democracy, which is what this country stands for. I would like to go on to the advantage three, which the affirmative side presents. In order to allow immigrants to move up the economic ladder, we must assist them by allowing them to get different information from the government in the languages by which they communicate. Immigrants who want to advance economically are recognizing the fact that they need to learn English in order to succeed and are learning it at record rates. According to Nomberg, linguistic professor at Stanford University, recent immigrants are in fact learning English at a faster rate than any earlier generations of immigrants did, and by all evidence with at least as much enthusiasm. Whatever multiculturalism may mean to its proponents, it most assuredly does not involve a rejection of English as the national lingua franca. The main problem with this plan is that by making people learn English, we are not just supporting the use of it as a language, but we're also supporting the narrow ethnic conceptions of nationality. Making English the official language carries harmful symbolic effects by Nomberg, the professor who I cited above. Language always trails symbolic baggage in its wake and frames and the notion of national identity in a particular way. Sometimes language is made the embodiment of liturgical tradition, as in various Balkan countries, and sometimes of a narrowly ethnic conception of nationality, as in Slovakia or the Baltic states. The language is standing in more than anything else for the cultural authority of traditional Republican institutions. In the American context, the author states, the imposition of English was the cornerstone of an aggressive program of Americanization aimed at sanitizing immigrant groups of the undemocratic doctrines they were fought to harbor. The ability to speak English was made a condition for citizenship in 1906, and in 1950, an English literacy requirement was added. A 1990 Nebraska statute stipulated that all public meetings be conducted in English,
bargain required that foreign language periodicals provide an English translation of their entire content. More than 30 states passed laws prohibiting or restricting foreign language instruction in primary schools. The justification provided for these measures was a peculiar doctrine about the connection between language and political thought, which held that speaking a foreign language was inimical to grasping the fundamental concepts of democratic society. A New York official told immigrants in 1916, "You have got to learn our language because that is the vehicle of the thought that has been handed down from the men in whose breasts first burned the fire of freedom." Like many other defenders of this doctrine, he dated the tradition from the Magna Carta. The politicians are using the law that the affirmative is presenting to make this nationalistic appeal of their own xenophobia. I encourage you not to be xenophobic and fear the foreigners the way our politicians do. You stated that immigrants are more eager and more willing to learn the English language today than at other times.
Yeah.
Now, why is this so?
Because the immigrant populations in the United States have realized that in order to achieve economic success, they must learn English.
Okay, then why would it be a problem in passing the affirmative plan in which we have no English, that we have only English ballots and only English driving tests and such?
As I have stated during my speech, the problem comes in where you limit everything that the government publishes in different languages. When you do that, you are not able to help the individuals who do not speak English, in fact, to realize that that's what they need to do in order to achieve economic success.
I would like to understand how this is limiting them. If they already understand in the status quo that they need to learn English and for economic success, why would they not understand that if they realize that everything they must do in governmental business would be with English?
Well, when individuals first arrive to the United States, they might not speak the language, and according to your own authors, you're saying that some of them do not want to learn the language. What we're saying is that if the government provides them with the help that they need, they will realize that in fact they want to learn English because this will allow them to succeed in this society.
So immigrants that are able to vote would have had to live in the United States for 5 years already. Why would these immigrants still need to have a multilingual ballot?
Voting is a very important issue in the United States. We already do not have enough participation when it comes to voting. We want to make voting as comfortable as possible for everyone, and that's the main reason why we would like to have other languages on the ballot.
Well, what do you do then about the cost that this costs other communities to do?
I think when you talk about the cost, the way I phrase my speech, I explain to you that by not allowing enough people to vote, you actually undermine the rights that we all have because we do live in a democracy. And democracy, in the eyes of the negative side, is way more important than the economic inefficiencies and problems that you're showing.
Okay. Can we go on to your disadvantage? Could you please explain what it is?
What our disadvantage is basically saying is that when you force people to speak only one language, you're not only forcing them to speak the language, you're also forcing the culture and the identity of that language onto them.
Right. Do you realize that the affirmative plan is not prohibiting other people to speak other languages other than English?
Yes, we do understand that. But what our disadvantage is saying basically is that you should not use English as the official language because that is the precedent for everything else.
The disadvantages that our opponents presented seem to relate more to an English-only law and not to English as the official language. On their argument on unity, on the issue of mosaic, I would like to present the fact that a mosaic still has a pattern within itself, We are not trying to blur the colors together in order to get to one unitary color. All we're trying to do is give a certain pattern to this mosaic. The second point, the one of 97% of people speaking English in the United States, I want to address by questioning the people who took the census. I want you to realize that people taking the census has had probably an easier time talking to those who spoke English, and therefore, those who did not may have been undercounted. At that point, it means that the actual number of those who do not speak English or would rather use their own language is much higher. I want to refer back to Case in order to talk about the importance of unity. We presented two points under there talking about the unity in government that is going to help our economic condition and also the unity in different communities that is going to help people not become alienated in the system itself. The last issue that I want to address on the argument of unity is that this country was built on the coming together of the different cultures, but also on the acceptance of a particular common pattern of one government, one currency, and at this point, of one official language. People do bond together, even with the passing of this particular law. We're not stopping exchanges between different cultures, since we're not banning the use of other of different languages everywhere. I want you to look at our plan and realize that all we're doing is introducing English as the official language. I want to move on to talk about the issue of efficiency and about the argument on democracy that was presented to you. If you remember, they were talking about democracy actually being undermined by the fact that the ballots would not be printed in different languages. I want you to realize that representatives benefiting from votes of people who don't even understand their policies is not the highest ideal of democracy. Instead, I would claim it has a manipulative function. The lower voter turnout that they're talking about should not happen if these particular people who, according to their speech, also speak English, would insist on being representatives. If immigrants are required to take an English test, it means that they should be able to speak English, meaning that we don't necessarily need the ballots being printed in different languages, since these people are able to understand English and are able, therefore, to write and assert their opinions in English. I would like to present John Miller's point of view. He's the vice president of the Center for Equal Opportunities, who says in October 96, that thousands of Americans are voting in foreign languages, even though naturalized citizens are required to know English. As Boston University President John Silber noted in congressional testimony last April, bilingual ballots impose an unacceptable cost by degrading the very concept of the citizen to that of someone lost in a country whose public discourse is incomprehensible to him. In order to be a citizen, you have to respect the issue of democracy, and you have to realize what policies are being put forward to you. Our argument on efficiency also presented the issue that was cost-related. This issue was not addressed by the opponent team. We said that $1.2 million are spent in only one county, the Los Angeles County, meaning that entirely there are huge costs associated to even just the process of voting and printing votes in different languages. At this point, you should realize that by passing this English-only law, we would not only save this money, but we also would reallocate them in more economically efficient ways. Addressing the issue of opportunity, I would like to group their argument and say that in the status quo, there are those who do not speak English do not have an equal chance to the American dream of economic opportunity, and that is a fact. People have their own incentives to learn the language, but English as an official language would encourage them even further in reaching their goals. I want to go back and extend the argument that we've already presented, the fact that non-speakers of English lose 20 times as more the salary that would otherwise be won if they did speak English. Addressing the one disadvantage that was presented, the symbolic disadvantage, I want to say that the purpose of English as an official language is to create unity, to decrease costs, and to increase opportunities for immigrants. It is not meant to change thinking. Having an official language can allow preserved mother tongues at home. John Joshua Fishman, a professor at Stanford University, writes in December 1998, "The language characteristically used with intimate family and friends and the language used with one bosses or government need not be the one and the same. Therefore, I want to emphasize again the idea that we're only introducing English as the official language. This does not mean that people will not be able to use their own languages in their own communities and in their own families. It means that people should be able to speak a language that helps them most in this particular country and in their particular communities."